iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
You're listening to The Spirituality Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio. Hello and welcome to iGlobal Radio, and this is our very special broadcast and program for iSpiritual, part of iGlobal. Now, the Sanskriti Foundation UK is a registered charity behind scores of kathas, dharma yatras, youth camps, discourses and various seva, which is selfless service, and satsang activities in the UK and India. And they will play host to a rare mega event straight from India, the Gujarat name. Now, this is a 9-day Ram Katha event, and it'll be recited by Bhaisri Ramesh Bhai Oza, and it started on the 13th of February, going through to the 21st of February for 9 days at the iconic Sandipani Vidya Nikatan in Porbandar in Gujarat. It's the first time Pujya Bhaisri will be reciting Ram Katha at Sandipani Vidya Nikatan since it opened in February 1992. It's the biggest virtual Katha since lockdown, and it will attract an audience of over 500,000, and it's raising funds and awareness for a school, especially for tribal children in Gujarat. Now, we've been following this event here at iGlobal and part of iGlobal Radio, and it is our duty to not only inform but also entertain as well. Now, joining me here today are two very astute experts in this very subject, and it's our second broadcast of the 9 that we will be carrying through every day right here on iGlobal Radio. So here on the Spirituality Show, we are joined by Bhavit Mehta and Preeti Raichura. First of all, ladies first, Preeti Raichura, hello and welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much, Tony. Once again, lovely to see you. Second day running. Thank you.
So, Preeti, what is your role and your title, if we want to call it that?
So, on a professional basis, I'm a broadcaster and a luxury wedding planner. And in terms of the work of Pujya Bhaisri, I've been associated with his work that goes on at Sandipani Vidya Niketan and all of his wider charitable work for many, many years. So I've been a volunteer. I've also been an organizer of some of his lovely, beautiful kathas.
Bhavit Mehta, welcome to the broadcast, and we introduced you yesterday as working for the British Library, but you've got a slightly more stringent and much bigger role to play as far as the organisation is concerned. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I've been a part of Sanskriti Foundation for a number of years, and especially in the last couple of years. And I guess you could say I'm one of the key organisers of this Katha. And it's been interesting because all of the organisers have been based in the UK, and we are working with a whole team of people at the Sandipani Vidya Niketan in Gujarat. And it's a little bit like planning a destination wedding while you're not going to be there. So you're doing it all virtually. So it's been a fun exercise doing it. We were awarded this Katha, or we were granted this Katha by Bhaisri. He accepted our invitation to organize this Katha about 3 months ago. So it's been a very busy 3 months for sure.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality Shows and other big events such as the Great Big Indian Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal Events section on iGlobalNews.com. Alongside the Katha itself, a range of sevas have been available so that maximum numbers from around the world can participate and feel connected with the Ram Katha and leading up to the events itself. What sort of things have been organised here?
Well, you know, when we talk about fundraising in India, it's interesting. Indian people are very philanthropic. There's no doubt about it. And we generally give funds to a number of types of causes. Of course, religious causes, whether it's our temples or ashrams or, you know, building new temples, People love to give money for those kind of events. It brings community and families together, whether it's feeding people at a particular time. You know, the recent Ram Mandir in Ayodhya, the amount of fundraising that's happening around that, and loads of people are coming forward and you know, giving their support is a good example. And another type of seva, another type of vehicle, let's say, that philanthropists love to support is education, educating young people, educating people in rural areas that don't normally benefit from the kind of education you might get in an urban place. And, you know, particularly in tribal areas where there's been nothing ever to actually be able to support the very basic education and the vocational education of these children, that's going to potentially completely change their life, is, you know, a big reward for many people. And then there are lots of other types of causes that people like to give money to, whether it's supporting a goshala, whether it's some you know, feeding the poor, whether it's hospitals, all sorts of things. So we decided that, look, this is a Ramkatha. It's essentially a religious activity. It's a devotional activity. The aim is to invoke devotion in all of us. The aim is to give us some comfort during these lockdown days. It's been sad. We've all had losses. We've all suffered. You know, listening to an inspired personality like Pooja Bhaisri to give us an understanding of a very ancient epic text and give it a modern context. We took that opportunity with full speed and said, right, this is a brilliant activity to do. At the same time, let's use it to also raise awareness and funds for a tribal school. So we've got the religious activities and the educational activities, and that will hopefully appeal to those two types of audiences.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality shows and other big events such as the Great Big Indian Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal events section on iglobalnews.com. Okay, Priti, can you tell us about the event after reflection on what we spoke about in our previous broadcast?
Well, again, today was another very beautiful day. The essence of this Gatha is all about love. So I'm sure when we ask Bhavit lots of questions around today's Gatha, you're able to touch upon some of the core nuggets that Paishi was talking about today. That of the love of Bharat. Bharatji, which was one of Ramji's younger brothers. And of course, Paishri also touched upon Seva, which you just spoke about as well. He touched upon Seva. He touched upon personalities and characters of individuals as well. But today, Paishri actually started off by talking about that there is lots of different types of Ramayans, you know, and in fact, you know, for those people that are probably tuned in, they'll probably remember that, oh yeah, I remember the Ramkatha when I was at primary school. And that's very different to what we're hearing now. So you remember that as the Rama Sita story, and very much about when Ram comes back from Ayodhya, and that's when we celebrate Diwali. But that's nice for the younger kids. And what was amazing, Tony, is that there's so many young kids that were tuned in today as well. Those probably that don't understand Hindi very well, don't understand Sanskrit or Gujarati very well either, but there was something that was drawing them to listen in and tune in to that Gatha. Yesterday, we spoke to Nirmala Ben all the way in Vancouver, Canada, and we were talking about, you know, how she tunes in at 2 o'clock every morning, Canada time. And of course, today, we saw lots more people around the globe tuning in for this amazing Gatha. Now, when Paishi was talking about Seva, Bhavik, talk to us a little bit more about what you picked out of that Gatha in terms of some of the core nuggets.
One thing I really found interesting that he said was, when you look at Seva in the terms of actions, you get a lot of people in the world who are they're not devotional driven, but they're more karma driven, they're more action driven. Think of all the activists of the world. Think of all the people who like to get things done, who like to bring positive change in the world. But what Paishi said is we must take caution. If you do seva without the sadhana, without the devotion, if you don't have that, then what can happen is that you often lose that way of finding, of making yourself a better human being. That's what sadhana and devotion can do, is make you a better human being. And if you're an activist, or you're this very passionate person who wants to bring change in the world, without that way of grounding yourself, you can sometimes get a bit carried away. You can, rather than that activity bringing peace in your life, it can bring anger and resentment, and it can hurt your ego. And this happens all too well. There are wonderful human beings who are doing some wonderful work out there, but if they don't have a litmus test, a way of grounding themselves, they can get carried away. And in fact, their work becomes almost more damaging than beneficial. So I thought that was quite interesting, the connection between devotion and seva, devotion and action. I thought
that
was very
interesting. And I love the example that he gave of a doctor. You know, doctors are there, to save lives, to help people. And at the moment, the global pandemic that is, that has hit the world, doctors, nurses, frontline medical staff, they're working around the clock, aren't they? And we see that. We see that in the news every day. We see that in our local papers. It's in our face. We hear it in the katha as well. And Bhaisri very nicely gave the example of a doctor that actually, when a doctor does seva, and he, because he's a doctor, when money isn't his focus, but the focus is serving his patients, that is as good as serving the Lord himself. I thought that was beautiful.
I mean, he talked about doctors who understand their true dharma, their true duty, right? They feel a greater sense of satisfaction from being able to save another person's life when they do it from their own earnings. When thanking a doctor, we also must remember to sort of acknowledge the sacrifices of their family. A doctor is planning to spend time with his, wife or his family, and he gets called away in an emergency. He has to go, and his family sacrifice that, but that's part of the deal. When people in those sort of positions do things for money, then that's the wrong aim. Money is a byproduct, but not the main objective. So that was quite interesting.
And also, Bhaisri started off by talking about, like I said, when we were all kids, we've heard of the Rama Sita story. We've heard, about the Ramayana in a westernized way, if you like. And what we're hearing now is a very detailed version of the Ramayana, which has been written by Tulsidas Ji. But before Tulsidas Ji, there was also Valmiki Ramayana and many, many more Ramayans. And again, Bhaisri also spoke about that too. Why did Tulsi Ji feel the need to write yet another version of the Ram Katha?
Well, in a previous life, I used to be a scientist and I worked in a science lab. And I was always fascinated by this amazing knowledge that scientists will find in the research laboratories. But often they fail to communicate that to the masses, right? They'll write their wonderful scientific papers that go in peer-reviewed journals, but it's not understood by the masses. And that's changed a lot in the last 10 or 15 years. People now, especially now during COVID times, everyday people know the science behind COVID, they understand it, or they're able to understand. And scientists are getting better at communicating this to the general public. Now, when the Ramayana was first written, they say something like 6,000-7,000 years ago in Sanskrit by sage Valmiki. And after that, several different Ramayans were written in different parts of India from different interpretations, but always in Sanskrit. And that meant that it was limited. Not everybody could understand this language. Only certain types of people had access to this kind of knowledge. And Sanskrit is still a living language. People sometimes say it's a dead language, why bother? But actually, it's still much, very much living and breathing. And people all over India, there are scholars and academics and people who love conversing in Sanskrit. But of course, for the larger part of the country, there are many, many, many other local and regional languages. And what Tulsidas did, in answer to your question, Preeti, is he took a text that was in high-level Sanskrit and he wrote it, he reinterpreted it, and he wrote it in a very common tongue, which is Avadhi. At that time, that was the common form of Hindi, was known as Avadhi. And that was not because Tulsidas wasn't a scholar of Sanskrit, he very much was, but because he had compassion for the people. He felt that these teachings that are hidden between these Sanskrit shlokas in these pages need to be interpreted, need to be squeezed so that the wonderful juice can come out of it, that the masses can benefit from. And that's what he undertook. He took the challenge of completely rewriting it in a common tongue. And he knew very well that he'd be criticized to do that. There'd be many people who would find that completely blasphemous. How dare you take these sacred texts and, you know, write it in the common tongue? But he was very much prepared for those criticisms. And think about this now, 500 years on after he wrote the Ramcharitmanas, which was his interpretation of the Ramayana in Avadhi language, that's the most common form of the Ramayana that is read and understood and preached, and kathas and discourses take place based on that. The famous Ramayana TV series that, you know, we all grew up watching in the late 80s, and all the other various Ramayana serials that have come and gone on various Indian channels have all based themselves predominantly on Tulsidas's Ramcharitmanas. So think of that. That's the greatest contribution he's made to humanity, because this text was not just for Hindus or particular types of people. He's written it for the whole of humanity. That's his greatest contribution, to bring it to the common tongue.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality shows and other big events such as the Great Big Indian Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal events section on iglobalnews.com.
And Bhaisi also touched upon today about the love of Bharatji and how Bharat, he is actually the gopi of the Ramayana. Now, that's the first time I've ever actually heard that. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear about gopis in the Bhagavad or gopi prem to do with Lord Sri Krishna. But today, when Bhaisi referred to Bharatji, the brother of Lord Ram, as a gopi, that was actually it was so nice. And just that word itself brought about so much love and compassion. And what was really, really nice again there too, Mavit, was when Bhaisi spoke about how he was speaking about Bharatji's personality and how Bharatji wanted to keep that love that he has for Lord Ram tucked away in his heart somewhere. But Ram Bhagwan, he wanted to expose that love and share that love. Talk about what you felt during that time.
It was really actually quite a touching moment. So, you know, the way that if you think of, you know, all of us, you know, Indians, we love our sweet food, right? We love our desi, mithai and all of our wonderful food. And the predominant ingredient in that is ghee. Now, ghee is made from buttermilk, and buttermilk is made from yogurt, and yogurt is made from, you know, all of these things ultimately come from milk. Now, milk contains the very essence of ghee, but it's hidden. It's hidden. You need to churn it. You need to churn that milk in order for that ghee to come out. In the same way, Bharatji had this immense, 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 immense love for Ram, but it was hidden deep inside him. And what Ramji did in the various stories in the second chapter of the Ramayana, the Ayodhya Kand, is basically bring about a churning in Bharat's heart so that that love comes out and it's exposed to everybody. Many people in, you know, those who know the Ramayana or those who know the story of Diwali, for example, we often talk about Hanuman as the great devotee of Ram, the one who helped save the big battle, the one who helped rescue Mother Sita, the one who could do anything, could sacrifice his whole life for Ram. And that's absolutely true. Hanumanji is the gateway to Ram. But Bharat is definitely this hidden character in the Ramayana, a really beautiful character that people haven't really focused on for too long. And I think in this katha, over the next 7 remaining days, we're going to hear more and more about this particular character. And I look forward to sharing those points during these podcasts.
And I certainly look forward to listening to more of that katha about Bharatji. In the Western world, and I'm just thinking of anybody who was there present, and for those people that may be listening to this, that maybe working as a politician, working in the royal family, for example, what tips can they pick up from this Ram Katha that we heard today?
Well, look, you know, when it comes to politics and when it comes to royalty, people are known to have done a lot of bad things to each other in order to grab hold of that main seat. How many royal families do we know in the world and history of the world where brothers have fought in order to become the crown prince or become the king? Even in royal families around the world today, you hear of all these kind of stories. And here in the Ramayana, you have this amazing story of two brothers who are happily giving each other the seat of power, not grabbing onto it at all. And there's something really wonderful there that we can learn. Sacrifice, respect, and love. These qualities people of power need to actually have in them and live by example, and then others will follow. And I think that there's a lot to be learnt by politicians and royal families from the story of Lord Ram and his younger brother, Bharat.
So we're about to almost come towards the end of today's broadcast. What I'd like to know is that today's event obviously has moved you tremendously from what I'm hearing from both of you here today. Preeti's particularly passionate about it, as we're hearing, and I'm very happy to see that as well, Preeti. What is there to expect in tomorrow's Katha, which is going to be taking place?
I think very much. I think when a scholar like Bhaisri speaks from the Vyaspit, I don't think any of it is predetermined at all. I really truly believe when he's there and he's in his form, he can go off and maybe from while he's doing parts of the Ramkatha, he can take a diversion and maybe even go and talk about the Bhagavad for a little while. But that's what happens, because I truly believe when a scholar like Pujya Bhaisri is sitting on the Vyaspit, he is there, he's being inspired by the Lord himself, by that divine energy. So who knows what's going to come up tomorrow, but whatever it is, I know it's going to be special. But as soon as Bhaisri then starts to follow the Ramkatha as it is, by, you know, reading the bits within the actual text itself, I do believe it's the appearance date of Lord Ram tomorrow.
Bhavit, in final stages of today's broadcast, what is call to action as far as people want to get involved, want to watch the Katha and be very much a part of it, even those novices amongst us?
Well, I think, like Priti said before, some of the younger kids who joined today who wouldn't necessarily understand what was being said, but they could really appreciate the atmosphere and the vibe. So I would invite anyone to come and listen to the Katha, see if you like it. It won't be everyone's cup of tea. We're completely aware of that. But you might, if you give it a chance, you might enjoy it. You might be able to understand some of the things that are being said. There'll be some nuggets there. There might be a couple of anecdotes or jokes that help you understand the points that Bhaisri is saying. Or it might be the kirtan and the singing and the beautiful chants and the prayers that he does that might, you know, strike a chord in your heart. The fact that this Katha is happening to raise awareness and funds for the tribal school, and periodically during the Katha, they're showing scenes of the children in Saputara and in the tribal areas of the Dang district of Gujarat. And it might be those scenes that cause, you know, a stir inside you, and you think, this is something I want to support. The Katha is happening every day from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. live on our YouTube channel, which is sandipani.tv. That's sandipani.tv.
And indeed, if anybody is actually listening to the iSpirituality show right now, it is being brought to you by iGlobal. And don't forget, there'll be regular updates on the iglobalnews.com website for more information, and of course recordings of this very broadcast. We're back again tomorrow, same time, same place. Looking forward to your company. And once again, Preeti Raichura and Bhavit Mehta, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. We're back with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Spirituality Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio. This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality shows and other big events such as the Great Big Indian Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal events section on iglobalnews.com.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iglobalnews.com. iglobalnews.com.